Let's get this party started.
Welcome to Tinsel Tunes. I'm one of your hosts, Scott.
And I'm the other host, Dwayne. How are you, Scott?
Oh, Dwayne, it's great to see you. It's mid to late April when we're recording this. I'm not sure when it's going to go out, but here in Denver, we got snow. In fact, it's probably snowing outside right now. And it's fun. It's like the last hurrah of the season.
That's amazing, because down here, we have rain. Our weather, being autumn here, has been quite changeable. We've had some really awesome sunny days that autumn delivers, and then winter just knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm just here.
Yep.
So this weekend is one of those weekends.
Yeah, but having the snow made me feel a little bit like listening to some Christmas music. So I did that a couple times this week. Do you know the musician Joe Pass? He was a jazz guitarist from like the late 70s.
No, I've heard his stuff, but I don't know it by name.
He has an album that I picked up from a used record store when I was in high school called Six String Santa. And it's just a wonderful album, you know, jazz guitar, like a Wes Montgomery kind of thing. And I really like the arrangements, and it just puts me in a great mood when I listen to it.
That's good. I mean, I'm assuming it's instrumental. There's no singing.
Yep, no vocals whatsoever.
No, instrumental Christmas songs have really become my favorite since listening to them on Christmas Morning Podcast. So, yeah, you've brought some real scorches, both of you, and your listeners. And some of them will probably end up in one of our episodes at some time or other.
Yeah, I hope so. I really like doing the instrumental. I think it's like the third week of the month we pick instrumental songs, and that's been nice. After a while, the vocal stuff starts to get, what's the word you used last time? Samey?
Yeah.
It feels like you're listening to the same thing, so it's a really nice way to break it up. And also, I selfishly did it because week in and week out, I was finding songs that I really liked, but instrumental songs don't win our song battles typically on Christmas morning, so I was saving them and not really having anything to do with them. So it's nice to find a use for them, I suppose.
It certainly is. And we've had some on Tinsel Tunes from time to time, and I really quite like them.
Totally.
It can make a song that you don't like. This might be quite controversial, but Christmas Shoes, of course, everyone goes on about that's the worst Christmas song ever, or one of them. You take the lyrics away and the tune is actually quite pretty. It's the lyrics that kill that song.
Yeah, totally. I feel the same way about Mariah Carey's delivery of All I Want for Christmas Is You. I don't think it's a bad song. No. I'm just tired of hearing it over and over and over. And I hear, in fact, we're going to hear one today that I really have come to quite like.
Same. In fact, as we get into the episode, it was certainly one of the first songs that I heard from this band that sort of made me take notice of them.
Yeah. Do we have any feedback from the last show before we get into the music today?
We do. So as listeners will know, we did a episode on Christmas train songs last month, and Adam Parker Saibun came back with great episode as always. Didn't have my festive train songs though, but here's two more. The first one is from Los Campinos. I don't speak any type of Spanish, so I hope I pronounce that correctly.
I think it's Campesinos.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's why people listen for me messing things up.
Right, right.
Yep. It's called The Trains Don't Run, It's Christmas. It's a sad indie song, and it's from one of his favorite indie pop bands. And another sad indie song is from Nick Lowe singing Old Toy Trains, which we featured the original on last month. Mm. And then he came back with another one. It's the sentimental version, The Christmas Train by The Holly and The Heathen. And links to all those are on the Facebook post. So you just need to go onto the Facebook page and find the recent post to have a listen to those.
Obviously, Adam is the host of the Merry Britsmas podcast. He puts a lot of music into his episodes. Boy, he's no stranger to sad indie songs, though.
No.
And they're not really my jam, but he has an extensive knowledge of Christmas music and constantly pointing things out like, hey, you forgot this, you should have played this. And I always think to myself, man, we should have checked with Adam before we recorded.
That's a good idea. In fact, we are going to be featuring Adam in an upcoming episode closer to the season. We haven't decided quite on what we're going to talk about, but it will be English based, no doubt. Of all the songs he listed, The Christmas Train by The Holly and The Heathen had a quite It was a mixture of styles. It was a little bit surfy. It was a little bit rockabilly. It was a little bit rock. Out of all those three, that was definitely the one that I liked.
All right. Stop Selling. That sounds great. I'll have to give that one a listen.
Yeah, go listen to it. We also have feedback from Jack Ford. We'll hear from him twice, essentially, in this episode. But Jack says, great work as always, boys. And, of course, everyone knows Jack from the Total Christmas Podcast.
Yep, my favorite Christmas podcast.
One of them.
I think that one is my favorite of anything that I don't do personally myself. I think
that's true.
I think his is my favorite. Jack's sense of humor, it just resonates with me.
The same. Yeah, taking aside what I do and what you do, yeah, Jack, and not to dismiss anybody else, but Jack's got his own style that I really, really like.
No, of course not.
Listener Brad Hunt says, good stuff. He would like to complete the list with a song called North Pole Express from the Peter Pan Carolers.
Oh, the Caroliers.
Caroliers.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar. I feel like Jerry from Totally Rad Christmas had something with the Caroliers. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's actually a children's Christmas song.
Okay.
But I didn't realize it was a children's song when I listened to it until I read a bit about it. It's a really nice song as well. It's a shame we didn't find it for the episode, but once again, the link's in the Facebook page, so just go and have a listen.
Unfortunately, we never have unlimited time to play all the songs we would want to play anyway, so consider it a playlist. You can just keep adding to it.
Yeah, speaking of playlists, I've started the Spotify playlist for the Tinsel Tunes 2004 episodes, where all the songs that we feature, if they're on Spotify, they're on that playlist. Unfortunately, the ones that Adam mentioned, only the last one, The Christmas Train by The Holy and the Heathen, was on there, but I couldn't find the other two.
Did you say 2004 or 2024?
24.
Okay, good.
Did I say 24? I'm sure I said 24.
Okay.
Mind you, life was a little bit better back in 2004, just saying.
Yeah, no kidding. We didn't have Spotify, though. So
No, we didn't. We had other ways to get music. And then the last thing I wanted to quickly mention is I'm going to be doing some drumming Christmas covers in July.
Ooh.
And I want, instead of me choosing the songs, I wanted our listeners to come up with some songs that they think might be good for covers. And then I'll choose two or three from what comes through and make those into covers. The only stipulation is to head over to the Average Drummer YouTube channel and subscribe. And that will then cement your choice of song for one of the ones that I'll hopefully choose from. So just a little bit of self-promotion there.
Yeah, so let's say somebody picked like Last Christmas from Wham, for example. What would you do to make a cover of that? How do you find a version of the song that doesn't have drumming so that you can do your drumming?
So we have software called Moises.
Okay.
Where you can put the song into it and you can cut out anything. You can cut out the guitars, the singer, the drums and whatnot. So we remove the drum tracks.
Oh, wow.
And then just play over top of the song without the drums. Mm-hmm. And from there, you can either make it as custom as a drummer wants or, you know, true to form or anything like that. So basically, once I take the drums out, I was just going to play around and see what I come up with.
Well, I like
it. And then record it, put it on my YouTube channel.
Well, that sounds great. Mm. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
When, obviously, you said Christmas in July, so are you planning for around July? Or do it ahead of time and then release them in July? What's your thinking?
At the moment, it's up in the air. I'll definitely want to start practicing some songs probably in June as well. So the sooner we can get them in, then the sooner I can pick some songs and start learning them and start playing around with them. And then I'll probably release them through July, maybe one a week if I do four songs or something like that.
Oh, that sounds fun. All right, listeners, do your thing. You know what to do.
Yes. Head over to the Average Drummer YouTube channel, subscribe, list a song in there or on the Facebook page post, and we'll see what we can come up with.
Or you can email it to tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. I'll get it to Dwayne that way either, if that's easiest for you. No problem.
Exactly. And that is all the news and feedback that we have.
Well, that's great. We have another show today where we're just going to kind of be two guys listening to an album. And we try to do this from time to time. Not everything is a history lesson around here. We're Christmas music fans just like everybody else. And sometimes it's just nice to listen to a new album that you haven't listened to before. And this is new, definitely new to me. I don't think it's quite as new to you.
No.
But it's fun to kind of just sit and chat with somebody else who appreciates this stuff as much as you do and see what they think. So we're going to listen to an album called A Very First to 11 Christmas by the band First to 11. Now, First to 11 is, you can find them on YouTube. I'll just start by saying they are fantastic. Really, really good. They mostly do covers, but don't write them off as, oh, this is just a cover band. These are not karaoke versions of the covers. And I think you'll hear that today, putting their own spin on some of these things. I really enjoy them. Dwayne, I think you're the one that turned me on to them.
Yes, I've featured their songs on and off over the years. And I think we, late last year, there was one of the songs, I can't remember which song it was, popped up on the list of various versions that we play. And I think that caught your attention then. And I mentioned that they do a lot more songs as well as non-Christmas covers. And then I think you heard one just the other week, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was on YouTube looking for something else and found a cover they did of Life is a Highway. And sent it to you and said, boy, this is really good.
Yeah, and then I think I reminded you that they do Christmas songs. And then from that was born this episode.
That must be how it started. Now, you reached out to them, is that correct?
I did. And we've got permission to use the songs on the episode. Unfortunately, we couldn't get them on the episode because they're touring at the moment. They're quite busy. But they said, yeah, by all means, have a listen, have a talk. No doubt they'll listen back to this episode later. So thanks, team. Thanks for letting us use your music on the episode.
Yeah, that sounds great. And in the future, maybe we could find a time to talk to them and we'll see. Because this is not their only Christmas release. This one, the very first to 11 Christmas, is the full album, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's 11 songs, but they have EPs that they've released every couple of years, I think. I know there's a 2021, because I got a little bit confused when I was doing the research, and I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? And they have at least two EPs.
Yeah, this I think, is the collaboration of putting all those together onto one
album. Oh, okay.
But by the looks of it, yeah, I got a little bit confused to start with as well. Especially when Spotify says, hey, there's 11 songs, and you go to YouTube and it's like, there's 7 songs. So, yeah, I worked it out.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what was going on. Do you have any background info on the band?
I do. So they're a cover band based out of Erie, Pennsylvania, and they were founded in 2009. They take your favorite songs and put an extra twist on them with heavy guitar riffs, hard-hitting drums, fun melodies, and even mashing up different styles from different songs. The band has an extensive and growing catalogue of covers, as well as major experience both live and in the studio. And would you believe they've released 17 full albums so far? That's amazing.
I would believe it, because you go to YouTube and it just keeps going and going and going with the playlists.
So First to 11 has a handful of original songs, but fully dedicated a whole new project to expand on those originals and keep their covers here. So First to 11 is for their covers. The original project is called Concrete Castles, and that's the original music.
Okay. Now, the singer that we're going to hear today, she wasn't always a singer. Her name is Audra Miller, and I looked it up because when I read here that it said they were founded in 2009, I thought, what was she, in kindergarten? And Audra is 22, so she was born, you know, around, what, 2002, 2003. She was obviously not the original singer. I don't even know what the other singers sound like. I don't need to, because she is phenomenal.
Oh, definitely phenomenal. Yeah. And in fact, I didn't sort of realize that. I didn't put two and two together about when they were founded and how old she was until you just mentioned it.
Yeah. Now you're starting to think like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, does it? No, yeah. It doesn't. So they've had a couple singers, but this is the one that counts.
Oh, exactly. I was just too into the music to actually research deeper than what we've just come up with. So yeah, yep. The music's amazing.
Yep. And Dwayne, one of the other things I noticed when I was watching these videos is the guitarist Ryan plays this gorgeous Les Paul guitar, and he's phenomenal as well. So the whole band, really, really tight, really great. And I think we're going to hear that today when we start listening to the music. Should we get into it?
Yes, please. Let's go.
All right.
So the first one is called The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Before we start, we should mention here that this is a rock band, and these songs are going to have a rock feel to them. This is not going to be a Andy Williams karaoke version of Most Wonderful Time. So let's listen.
Happiest season.
You know, obviously the first thing I notice about that, Dwayne, is it seemed like it was in a minor key compared to the original.
Yes, it's as great as the song is, the original obviously is quite joyous. This one sort of takes a little slightly darker approach. In fact, Jack did mention on Facebook that he said, I really enjoyed all the covers. I thought they did a great job. And he put a new twist on them instead of just outright copies. The only one I didn't like was The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. They took one of the most joyous songs and turned it into a miserable dirge. Now, I wouldn't call it a miserable dirge. It's just a different take on it.
Dirge is a good word. I don't know if I would call it miserable, but it is a very different take.
Yeah. And so it is each to their own. And there'll be people that don't like the Andy Williams version. You know, maybe it's too sweet, too fluffy.
Yeah, saccharine might be a word that someone might use about the Andy Williams version. I don't know that if given the choice, I would have started introducing the songs by playing this one first, but we're going in order of the album.
Yeah.
So that is what it is.
Yeah. In fact, Jack also mentions that it was the first song on the playlist and he nearly didn't bother listening to the rest, but he's glad that he did.
Yep.
And he's looking forward to this episode.
They're not all going to be done in that style either. So if that one wasn't your cup of tea, or you're thinking, I'm not in for a bummer album today. No, hang on. It does get different.
Yeah. So the next song that we're going to listen to is one that typically we both don't like, especially when it's the original, I might add. However, we have mentioned that it doesn't feel like Christmas until you've heard the original at least once. But this is All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I cannot tell you how much more I enjoy that than hearing the Mariah Carey version.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing. There's a growly distorted guitar. There's that heavy drum beat. I really, really like this.
Exactly. It's up tempo. This is the version that should be played every year. And we're not just saying that because we know the band's going to be listening. I'm saying that because it's a better version.
It is. It's so, so good.
In my opinion, this is one of the best versions of the song I've ever heard. And if I remember rightly, when it gets into the chorus or a pre-chorus, it actually shifts to halftime and the drums, so it slows down. The tempo stays there and the song stays the same tempo, but the drums actually cut down to halftime. And it just really adds another layer to the song.
Wow, I wish you had said that before because I could have been listening for it. Now I'm going to have to go back and listen to it, but oh darn, I have to listen to a great song again. That's okay.
Oh, bugger.
The next one is Feliz Navidad, a song that I don't normally like for the same reason. The Jose Feliciano version is fine, but I've heard it so many times in my life that I'm just kind of sick and tired of it. So let's see what First to 11's take is. Feliz Navidad. So the first thing that I noticed about that one, Dwayne, was, I don't know, it had an airy quality to it. So it wasn't just heavy. It wasn't just a hard rock version. I really like it. And I'm going to be a broken record today. I'm liking these songs with some heavily distorted guitar on it and some growl to them. It gives it a different feeling.
Exactly. It makes it quite a new song. I'm like you. I don't mind the original version. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like Christmas unless I've heard it multiple times. But when it when you're just listening on random playlists for Christmas songs and Feliz Navidad comes up, you do tend to skip it because you go, oh, I've heard that one millions of times.
Yeah.
But this just brings a whole new life into it. It could be a brand new song and we never had an original. And this, I feel, once again, should be played more on the radio than the original.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed that one. Great job.
Next, we have one which I'd never heard of called Underneath the Tree.
You weren't familiar with this song?
No, no.
You living in a rock, under a rock there in New Zealand? This is a Kelly Clarkson song.
Oh, I don't listen to Kelly Clarkson at all.
No, I don't either. I don't care for it, but this one I sure do. Really interesting effect on the guitar. It almost sounded a little bit plucked. I would love to hear from Ryan to know how he did it. It was great. And what a fun version that one is. Same problem I have with some of the other songs being a little overly saccharine. I don't care for the Kelly Clarkson version, but this one I do. I liked this. And great vocals too. My gosh, Audra.
Oh, exactly. Even though it's not a song that I'm familiar with, Kelly Clarkson's just not on my radar at all. As a song, I didn't really care for it as such, but their version is certainly one I would listen to. But as far as songs go, to me, it just wasn't interesting enough as a song structure. Maybe I should hear the original.
I like it because it's a departure from what I'm used to hearing, so it means something a little bit different. And I don't know, I like Audra's voice better than Kelly Clarkson. I know that's going to be a take that people are going to be surprised at. If you hear the Kelly Clarkson version, it sounds like she's saying, "Snow is falling" with a capital C. It's not. It's "Snow is falling" as the carolers sing.
Okay.
It was extremely clear in the First to 11 version. It was not clear in the Kelly Clarkson version. So I liked this a lot. This would definitely go on one of my playlists.
Cool. I think I'll go out of my way and listen to the original and report back on it.
Temper your enthusiasm on it, though.
Okay.
I think I know you well enough to know that you and I have pretty similar taste. I would be shocked if you said, "I've got to have more Kelly Clarkson in my life." I'm sure she's a beautiful person. It's just not my cup of tea.
And it sounds like it probably wasn't mine. Otherwise, it would have been on my radar.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Next song is "Santa Tell Me."
This is one that I have never cared for. Let's give it a listen. Yeah, still a song that I'm not a big fan of. The First to 11 take on it was nice. It's just not a song I enjoy.
Yeah, now I have heard that one before.
Yeah.
And it's not on a playlist for me. Ariana Grande Christmas music, once again, just doesn't hit my radar, though I have heard this one.
Yep.
And I agree, great version of it, but as a song itself, it just didn't really hit home.
Yeah, this is why restaurants have menus. We all have different taste. It's totally fine. I absolutely respect that there are many, many, many people out there that love this song and think it's great. It's right up there with Mistletoe by Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
I would be perfectly happy if I never heard those two songs again ever in my life. So good job, First to 11. the listeners should not take anything away from my dislike of the song as a critique of the First to 11 take on it. I understand why they made a cover of it. They want people to listen to their music, and people are going to search for that song. I get it.
Exactly. You know, and I'm not an, I don't listen to that kind of music on a day-to-day basis, you know, from Ariana Grande, from Kelly Clarkson. So that's not a style I listen to, so it's not one that I can appreciate brought over into a Christmas song, because it's not on my everyday favorites. You know, anything metal, great. Anything a little bit reggae, very great. But that radio pop stuff just isn't me. Yep. And that's because I'm an old
person. We're just two old farts that don't like pop music. I get it.
Yeah. And it takes a lot for a pop Christmas song to break through my wall and make an impression on me.
Totally. The next song is one that this was brand new to me.
Same.
I had never heard of a song called Christmas Come On by Lindsey Stirling. Now, I'm familiar with Lindsey Stirling, the absolutely stunning violinist.
But never heard this one again.
I have a feeling this is another one of those pop songs, Dwayne, that just doesn't come across my desk very often.
Yeah, it feels like it. But what I really liked about it, and I'm assuming it's Ryan, but when the guitar comes in with the...
Oh, that guitar with the power chords. Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Was it a pick slide?
As a non-guitarist, that's what it sounded like to me. But it really pricked my ears up. I'm like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, it's got that really heavily growly... You know, I don't want to compare it to Green Day, but I get the same sonic vibes, and I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in my formative years. That's what I loved listening to. So hearing a nice, fat, growly Les Paul sound makes me very happy.
Exactly. That's a good song.
The next one is another one. Never heard of this in my life. The song is called This Season. What was the original artist?
Well, I know it was from John Torres, but I can't recall the song or his version of the song.
This was brand new to me. I couldn't tell you if this is a perfect cover or a terrible one. I really like First 11's version, though. Let's hear it.
Exactly.
This seems like one of those downer Christmas songs. That's probably why I'm not very familiar with it, Dwayne.
Yeah, I would unfortunately have to say this might be the one on the album that I would skip every time. I'm sorry, guys.
Yep, I probably would too. It's melancholy, and I'm just not into melancholy Christmas songs. I understand that there are plenty of people who are.
Mind you, I was more focused on what the drummer was doing, because he was definitely using those toms to their full effect. But other than that... It wasn't a song that I would hunt out. And like I say, I would skip it, unfortunately.
But how about the next song?
Yeah, I would skip it for the next song.
Yeah, what's the next one?
The next one is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Now, this is more us.
I feel like I might have heard this song once or twice in my life. Let's hear.
Yeah.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party house.
Dwayne, I wish the album had started with this song. It would have hooked me.
Yeah.
I would not be able to get the hook out of my mouth. I loved this version. Love it, love it, love it.
Oh, exactly. The chug of the guitars and just the drive of the drums, you know, the vocals, everything about the song, the tempo, the upbeat, this should have been the opener, and it's certainly one of the stars of the album.
It is absolutely a star. You know, it's hard to take somebody like Brenda Lee and cover their song, because objectively, somebody could say, hey, that song is perfect. You know, it's a perfect Christmas song. And I would say, sure, I wouldn't disagree with them whatsoever. But I love this take on it. It is so different. It doesn't start with that twangy, you know, guitar riff. This is just heavy, and it's great, and I love the vocals. So good.
Oh, exactly. And I might add, most of the videos that on YouTube for these songs are also worth watching to go with the songs. The set design, the costumes, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You could certainly listen to the music and fully appreciate it without seeing what they're doing, but boy, does it add a whole nother level. It's like extra frosting on the cake or something. They're just great.
Yeah.
Next song, Santa Baby. We did a whole episode on this song. Still not one of my favorites.
We did, and no, I can't remember. Maybe this was the episode that I brought this song to, perhaps.
You might have.
When I heard it, it's like, oh, I've heard this before, and we've covered this song. So without going back and having a look, this might have been the one that I brought to that episode. Santa Baby.
I put our crack research team on it while we were listening to the song. The website doesn't list the versions that we played, unfortunately, so I'd have to pull up a podcatcher. I think you might be right that we played a first to 11 version on the episode 54 for Santa Baby. Whether we did or not, this was really, really unique, and it did a couple things that I really liked. One, it didn't have that weird, overly sexualized female voice thing that a lot of the versions do that I find just disgusting. And there was something with the guitar in the background that kind of had this like, wow, wow, wow. I don't know if it was a wah pedal or it was a phaser or something. I loved it. I really like this different take on it. I wish more versions were like this one.
Exactly. I was going to mention the same thing. It is nice to listen to. The tone of the song is respectable.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you mentioned, some of them that come through, we won't mention names, but when you listen to them, they're uncomfortable.
Yes.
Whereas this is a nice tone to the song. You could have this on a playlist around people and they're not going to go, oh my God, listen to that. It's horrible. It's demeaning or what have you.
Yeah. I'm a father of an 11-year-old girl. If I heard the original Santa Baby, I would feel like I need to talk to her about this and explain like, yeah, this was at a different time and women don't have to act like this.
No. And some of the covers too. They've been terrible.
A lot of the covers, yes, absolutely. And the Madonna version and the Eartha Kitt version, obviously no exceptions there. This one, none of that. It's pushed all the way to the side, and I enjoyed it.
Very much so. So up next, we have Last Christmas.
Ooh, now this is a song I've come to really enjoy in my later years of life. Let's see First to 11's take of it.
But you still catch my eye. Tell me.
One thing that I really like about all the songs that we've heard today is sonically, they're very full. They're not thin. And those are hard words to kind of describe what I mean. But do you have a way to verbalize what I'm trying to say? Do you know what I mean by saying they sound very full?
I think maybe it's just the tone of the guitars, the punchiness of the drums, you know, and the cleanness of the vocals. And once again, it's not oversung. Some covers that I've heard, the vocals are oversung. And think in the background now, because I'm not listening to a stereo version in my headphones. Sometimes, as you know, sometimes some of the detail disappears from what I'm listening to.
Right.
And I have to recall memory. And we know how good that is.
Yeah.
Is something stabbing in the background? I don't know if it's a piano or organ or maybe guitar, but there's like this little stabby sounds. And to me, that maybe brings in the fullness of the song because there's just something in the background just going, do, 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 do. Now, I could be wrong. When I go back and listen to the stereo version, I'll go, there was nothing there. But that's what I'm hearing again.
One of the things that I find interesting is 1st to 11 lists the original artist in the name of, you know, cover of, you know, such and such. They list both Wham and Taylor Swift in here. So I would say their goal here was to do an homage of both styles. And I liked it. I am not a fan of the Taylor Swift version. I'm not a Swiftie. It's just, you know, her music doesn't do anything for me. I love the Wham version. But I get a little flavor of both in this one, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's a good way of taking it. I have heard Taylor Swift's version. However, I can't recall her version, so I might have heard it once or twice and just gone.
Oh, they play it around the clock.
Yeah,
here.
See, it doesn't get played over here because the radio stations over here are pretty much dying.
Gotcha.
Just in favor of, you know, other music sources and whatnot. And I think that come Christmas time, they just pull out the good old faithfuls and play those for a month and then get back to normal.
Yep.
But this is a version I've sort of come to disregard the original version. It comes on, I don't listen to it, I'd skip it or what have you, because once again, it's just so overplayed. But this one, once again, like Feliz Navidad, it just brought it back to a whole new level and something that should be listened to more.
Yeah, reinvigorated it, gave it a different life. I quite enjoyed it. The last song that we're going to do today, Dwayne, I think is a little more true to the original than you would expect based on the other songs that we've heard today. A lot of the songs have a real rock feel and they've been changed up. This one is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and I think you're going to notice a lack of that heavy rock feel. Not completely.
Yeah, they haven't strayed too far away from it.
Ah, that's a great way of saying it. This is a nice way to wrap up the album, and it's the last song on the album.
Yeah, it was very watered down. So you had the rhythm track that was obviously up front and clear, and in the background there was an organ, which sort of filled in the gaps between the vocals and the structure of the song. And it is a great way to end the album. That's a good song.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when the lights come up in a bar, you know, like the feeling totally changes. I kind of feel like this too. Instead of leaving me on this real heavy growly, it was a little on the sweeter side. And I enjoyed it. And Audra has wonderful range, so she can pull both of those styles off very easily. And I just like the way that it kind of put a little bow on the end of this album.
Exactly. I think it might have been a bit wrong to really have rocked it up, which we've heard versions before. I think this is one of those songs that just definitely likes to be similar to the original, a bit slower, a bit calmer, and a great closer.
Yeah. What was your favorite song that we heard today?
It would have to be Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. and I have to put two on it. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
I would put All I Want for Christmas Is You and probably Feliz Navidad if I had to make a list of, oh, these were my favorite songs, which is very surprising because neither of those songs by other artists would ever make a list like that for me.
Yeah, and for me, it would only be Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree. But all these songs will be on the Spotify playlist that we've created, and some of them will end up on my personal playlist. And there's one little bit more feedback now that we've listened to the album, and this is from Matt Wheeler, great listener to the podcast, and he's going to be a guest in an upcoming episode, which I'm really looking forward to, but I'll leave listeners hanging on that one.
You and Matt are both brothers in arms when it comes to metal music.
Exactly. So it's based around that. But Matt just basically says, in two simple words, great band. And he's right.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah. Even though this is not true metal, it's rock. And it's, I mean, my taste in music is quite varied because of the podcast. And to me, there's no difference between rock and metal. It's the same big umbrella that they come under.
Yeah, I enjoyed this whole album quite a bit. I could go on an extended car trip and listen to the whole thing. We have a couple that were not our favorites, but overall, the entire album, just fantastic. Now I want to go listen to their other EPs. I think there are two or three others.
Exactly. And of course, the non-Christmas stuff. Some of the covers they've done are just phenomenal, as you highlighted in, when you spoke to me about the Life is a Highway.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to their other covers for quite some time. So I love the way the music is produced. It's not half done. It sounds great. It sonically sounds great in headphones, in my car stereo. I think they've just done a great job. And their producers and their sound crew and everybody else behind the scenes really, really helped make it come to life.
Yeah, I want to thank the band for allowing us to play their songs today. It was so fun to just chill out and listen to an album that I was not familiar with. I had heard a few of their Christmas songs, but I heard them more scattershot because they would be in between other covers that I've seen on YouTube. It was really enjoyable to sit down and listen to the entire thing from start to finish.
Oh, exactly. And I've always wanted to do something like this, even though, you know, our history, so to speak, has been about the history of Christmas songs. Sometimes it's just nice to do this type of thing, a bit of a review, share some music that other people may not have had a chance to come across, and we'll get back into the history of songs at times, and I think it's just the natural progression of the podcast, just to branch out, appreciate music in any and all forms.
Yeah, not everything has to be scholarly. Sometimes we can just enjoy albums, and that's what we did today.
Exactly.
If you want to let us know what you thought, email us, tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Or go to the Facebook group.
Yes, and I'm hoping that over the next few months, you'll also hear some music that you haven't heard before as well, as we keep on going through the year. As you know, Scott, it was my birthday a few days ago before recording this.
Oh, it was. Yes, I forgot to mention. Happy birthday, Dwayne.
That's all right. I didn't put that out there for that.
Oh, okay. But
the fact that it's April, almost end of April already, and we're about to get into May, and then, you know, Leon Day coming up in June, and then Christmas in July, and then we're into the season. It's flying by.
Yeah, it is flying by. We're under 250 days till Christmas already, and that just blows my mind. It still feels like we just celebrated Halloween a week ago. I don't
exactly.
Know. Thank you for joining us, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com, or you can look up the Tinsel Tunes Facebook group. We'd love to hear from you. Dwayne, any closing thoughts today?
No, once again, it's just nice to listen to Christmas music all year round. Don't let anybody poo-poo your love of Christmas music at any time of year.
That's right. Don't let anybody pee on your parade route. I like listening to it. I'm not going to stop.
Exactly. And I'm just hoping that we just bring a little bit of joy into anyone who listens to the podcast.
Same here. So until next month, Dwayne, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.